Amen. So we have come to the last message of this conference. And let's read the conference title together again, shall we? Amen. Christ's deep longing and good pleasure. It's something deep and good concerning Christ. Something is deep in his heart. The deep longing and his good pleasure. The Bible is a divine romance. We can see from the Old and New Testament. And the Bible is truly a wonderful book, showing us a storybook, right? It's a story. A story of a divine romance between two persons, right? Two persons. One is between God himself. The other is man, whom he loved, he created. Right, so I know you're looking at this and what you have handout. You're giving a handout. You say, "Wow, we're going to cover all that." Yes, we're going to cover all that. So because we're all students, right? So in order, I just want to say we're going to cover all this, and it may take you a lifetime to know and understand the Bible. Not only we have in our hands a Bible that's written, but translated into French. Praise the Lord. Well, the French Recovery Version we pass out in Montreal, right? We're here. And in the different languages. Not only we have a Bible that is written as the Word of God, it has been translated, but now it has been opened up to us, interpreted, opened up. The Bible has been opened up to us. Hallelujah. So in our hands, we have an open Bible, right? We have all the divine revelation that's in here, in this one, okay? In this entire Bible. So we'll try to cover, okay, from the timeline perspective. You look at that timeline, right? As we go through each point, each stage, you will say, "Lord, how long has it been?" You know, he has that deep longing. Every stage, you know, what he wants to gain is this bride. Is this bride. I will read a section here, a section to begin, okay? It says that the Bible is very consistent in how it begins and how it ends. It begins and ends the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis. What do you see there? The tree of life, right? What else is it? The river of water of life. There's a flowing river, right? And also, there are precious materials. Gold, diamond, what else? Right? And it's precious stones. And the last two chapters of the Bible, not only have Genesis, the first two chapters has that. The last two chapters you also have from the throne of God and the Lamb. What is it? Flows a river of water of life. Bright as crystal. Right, so you have the river. And out of the banks, right, the two sides, what do you have? The tree of life. But here, you do not have the scattered materials. You have a city, a holy city. The new Jerusalem, that is it's built together. All the materials in Genesis chapter, the first two chapters, has gone through a process, has consummated into a built up holy city, the new Jerusalem. Okay, so this is here. But what else is in this conference? What are we touching here in Genesis, the first two chapters? Who do we have? Adam and Eve. You have Adam and Eve as a type of Christ and the church. Adam, right, is a prefigure of Christ, our brothership. So when you see Adam, right, in Corinthians, it said it is Christ. So when the Lord said it is not good for man to dwell alone, that means he is lonely. Right? This morning, you know, our brother showed us, God, he's lonely. He is perfect, omnipotent, almighty. Yet, he felt something short. There's something incomplete. He felt, that is not enough. Let me walk up here. I'd rather not jump. I could, but okay. So I'll be speaking from here. So, if you turn to Matthew, if you have your Bibles, if you don't have your Bible, but you can see there, in Matthew, there's a diagram. Okay, I'm going to jump. Sorry, just to save time. Still a little younger. Okay. So if you see there's a diagram here, okay, that is a chart from eternity past, okay, eternity without beginning to eternity, right, without ending. So that is a timeline. Before the foundation of the world, in Ephesians, chapter 1:4, okay, so even before God's creation, the foundation of the world, the Bible says we have been chosen and predestinated. Think about it, even before the world began, he has chosen us in Christ, in love, right, to be holy, to have the full sonship. So here, we say the triune God. Actually, you know, the triune God had a council. In Genesis 1:26, what does it say? God created. In Hebrew, God, right? Three. Yeah, it denotes a plurality of three. Created is singular. We're baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. So, the unique God, the only God, because of his good pleasure, because of his intention, he had a council in Genesis 1:26. What does it say? Let us create man. So, at here, okay, let us create man. So here, at time, before there's a time, so here, is man. Man is the center of God's creation. So God said, let us create man in our image and after our likeness. So even long before the foundation of the world, he has a deep longing. He has a good pleasure. That is to have man as his counterpart, to express him and to represent him. So this is man, not only an individual man, but a corporate man, Adam. In his image, he created them male and female, and they were called Adam. So he created not an individual man, but a corporate man. Okay, so here we have in Genesis. And, of course, you had the dispensation before the law, or we call the patriarch, the fathers, Abraham, you know, in the Genesis, and also that's when law was given. This time, it's before law. Law, Moses, after the law. Okay. So this is what we call the timeline here. We have at this point, that's the Old, from this time, the Old Testament and the New Testament. When Christ was incarnated, right? What came? Grace and reality came. The law came through Moses. So, but grace and reality. This is the first coming of Christ. I'll say first coming of Christ. Okay, so we'll go through that later. And then we begin the dispensation of grace. How many of you were there, saw the picture of Hudson Taylor in Niagara-on-the-Lake? Were you there? No? You saw the picture, Niagara-on-the-Lake. That's when the British Brethren, the Plymouth Brethren, brought a matter of dispensationalism in Niagara-on-the-Lake and Queen Hotel. Right? Some of you visited. Who took the picture of Hudson Taylor? Nobody did. Oh, How come I saw a picture there? Okay. So that's when the brethren, the word was opened to us, mainly through the British brethren, concerning the prophecy, the dispensationalism. Then, of course, went to Chicago Moody Bible Institute, you know, all that. Okay. So basically, we have seen the Lord works at different ages, okay, and different stages. So he's dealing with man is different. But there's only one goal he's after. He's after the bride, his counterpart. Okay, so of course, Adam fell, the created race fell. He called out Abraham, the called out race, Israelites. That's a whole entire history. So the Old Testament is a typology. It's a types in figures to tell us what he wants as a reality in the New Testament. Coming out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, according to Corinthians, a matter of baptism. You see, so you can see all this in the Old Testament. It just tells us God's desire. So we read in Isaiah, right? God, but your maker is your husband. God, your maker is who? Your husband. Wow. My people. So even bring them out of the wilderness. Right? It's his betrothing, right? And then he made a vow. Where did he make a vow? Mount Sinai. Right? So you see, in the Old Testament, God wants to gain his people to be not only to worship him, but to love him. So the closest, the deepest relationship with us and God is not to prostrate. Right? The Buddhists demonstrated, if today all I ask my wife to do is bring me a glass of water, wash my feet, get my towel, scratch my back, where's my newspaper? What kind of marriage is this? Sorry. No, I mean, God does not want man to be his slave. No, God wants man to be his what? Lover. David Liu, right? Don't do that to your wife, okay? I know he will never. Lily will say, No, I don't want to serve you. I want to love you. You see, God, even in the Old Testament, is so clear. Like God, your maker, your creator is your husband. So we should not have that religious concept. Remember when it was under the law, when the Lord decreed the law, said, we will obey, then what? God changed his face. No, we cannot. The law is just a picture of Christ, of who God is. We can never be. Right? But it's, so okay, so the whole thing was in the Old Testament. Then, what I want to touch as a background, okay, this is the second coming of Christ. So when we say, come, Lord Jesus, when we pray, this is the second coming of Christ. Especially a lot of Christians are not clear about this matter. We know we're to be saved. Right? But not only as a Christian we need to be saved, but we need to overcome. Okay, this whole matter of the kingdom, it's a reward, it's key. Okay? I want to go through here in this aspect, okay? In the Old Testament, we have pictures, types, where God moved among men. But it was not until Christ's incarnation that God began to move in man. Right? God began to have the first person, Christ, I mean, to be a proper person to match God. So in his incarnation, it's not just Christmas. It's not Santa Claus. It's not the red-nosed reindeer. No. Okay, it's not that. What is incarnation? Incarnation is to bring God into man. In the Old Testament, you know, you don't have that. God's Spirit can move, right? You know, even the donkey of Balaam spoke. You know, I mean, there are a lot of miracle things happen, but God has never come into man. So incarnation is to bring the triune God into man. So we have this prototype, Christ, who is a real lover of God. He is, right, the prototype of the church. So in his human living, he lived out God. So you've been reading Christ as reality. Right? You read that book, Christ as Reality. So what is it, Christ as Reality? Christ is the real meal offering. Here's the mingling of divinity with humanity. So when he was on the earth, he lived such a life. He lived out God in his human living. Even his touching of a leopard. You know, you don't touch a leopard. If I say, okay, I know Terry. If he has leprosy, all covered up, you know, boils, everything, what would you do? If I was the Lord, I'd say, be healed. Be healed. But what did the Lord do? He could have done that, just say, be healed, like the official. But what did he do? Touched. He touched that leopard. And when he was walking, someone touched him. Who touched me? The disciples said, there's so many people. Hey, you know. But he said, no. There was a woman for 14 years, she has a bleed. I mean, you know, she could not stop. But she touched the Lord. So Lord touched, and people touched him in his humanity, the skirt of his garment. It is in his humanity. Sorry, I cannot go through this. This is so good in his humanity. Then in his death, resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit. In ascension, he poured down the spirit. Okay, to produce. If in your handout, you will see this produced the church. Individually, we receive him. If you have your handout, you can see that. On the left-hand side, you have this whole diagram. In his incarnation, in his human living, all-inclusive death, the items in his human living, there are five things that he did. And his resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit. His ascension has 12 statuses. Okay. So this is the Gospels. You have the four Gospels. You have the epistles. Then in Revelation, right, you have the seven spirits. So what I want to share with you is that there are three becomings of Christ to say these. First is the Word became flesh in John 1:14. So that's one stage of Christ's ministry. So I'm talking about, I want to apply the three stages of Christ's ministry to our experience. First stage is the stage of incarnation. Second stage is from, you know, in the epistles, where he became the life-giving spirit. He produced the church, regenerated the believers. He became the firstborn son of God. And then the three I's, I want to put it here. Incarnation, inclusion, and intensification. This is in the four Gospels. This is in the epistles. This is the book of Revelation. Because I want to give you the background before I get into Revelation. This is Christ's full ministry of who he is and what he did to produce the church. Right? So first of all, incarnation. He brought the infinite God into a finite man. Right? And he what? Accomplished judicial redemption. So how many of you have not received the Lord or been baptized yet? Have not? Okay. Okay. If you have not, okay. So you need to experience God being born into you. That is, you need to receive Christ's redemption, right? As a foundation, in the stage of incarnation, he accomplished the death on the cross. Oh, where's the cross? Okay. Oh, he didn't draw the cross. The cross here. Okay. The cross. He died for you. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this is what he did. It's not how good you are, but you need to experience the Lord's what? Incarnation. This is the gospel. He came, he crucified Satan, sin, and the world. Since this is the foundation, the basis of our salvation. Right? And then, in the stage of inclusion, we have been regenerated. Right? Come into our spirit, this is our soul, and this is our body. Soul, this is our body. So he regenerated believers. He became the life-giving spirit in his resurrection. Today, who is the Christ that we know? Who is he? He is the life-giving spirit. Yes, he walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. Right? But he resurrected. Now he is the life-giving spirit. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. So we need to know Christ in his inclusion. That means he included all these steps, processes that he went through. Incarnation, human living, death, and resurrection. It's all included in this stage. This is where he produced the church. Right? Produced the church. So today we're in the dispensation of grace, the age of the church. And then, in the stage of intensification, what is he doing? This is in Revelation. Who is he? He is the seventh spirit. If you read Revelation, the seventh spirit, the eyes of the Lamb. So he, because of the degradation of the church, he has been sevenfold intensified. So he is intensifying his organic salvation. This is what we're experiencing. Salvation in life. Salvation by his redemption. By life. But now we need to be experience his sevenfold intensified spirit. Every day we need to behold him. So he can infuse himself into us. Right? In the stage of intensification and produce us as the overcomers. This is what I want. I'll stop here. I give you this background. So we are actually at a stage of intensification in the book of Revelation, where Christ is sevenfold intensified. So I pray that all of us will see today, we don't have to stay in our weakness. We don't have to stay in our emotion. We don't have to stay in our mind. We have to be in our spirit, regenerated spirit, to behold him as the seventh spirit. So that seventh spirit is sevenfold intensified to produce us as the overcomers who are the wife of the Lamb, the bride. Okay, so is this clear? So here we are at the stage of Christ's coming. We have another chart I don't have time to cover. It's that actually through all the signs in Matthew 24 and 25, the Lord is coming back soon to end this age. So at this time, what does he need to come back? Saints, are we in this time? Are we under the law? No, right? I mean, we're not Israel. So where are we? We're the age of the grace, the age of the church. If you look at your chart, the age of the church. So today, there is the matter of the reality of the church, of the kingdom. The kingdom has its reality. Who are the overcomers? Has its appearance, which is Christendom, Christianity. Okay, appearance, okay. Appearance, and has its, the kingdom has its manifestation. Manifestation here. Reality, appearance, and manifestation. If we are not in the reality of the church life, yes, you say, I'm regenerated. You know, the Bible tells me so, you know, so Jesus loves me. I know all the children's stories. I know all the conference trainings. I know all the terms. But you may not have the reality. You may be in the church life. Seven churches in Revelation. The different situations. You may be in a church. But notice, the Spirit, right, is speaking to the churches. What is the Spirit in Revelation calling for? Overcomers. He's calling for overcomers today. That means it doesn't matter what the situation of your locality is. Are you an overcomer? Are you in the reality of the church or the church life? If you're not, or some could be in appearance, you know, if we're not in the reality of the church life, we cannot be in the manifestation of the kingdom. That is what we call millennium, 1,000 years. Huh? That's 10,000. Whoa, that's too much. 10, okay. Better be that, too many zeros, okay? That's a hard. It's like today, okay? Overcomers are not supermen, you know? Superheroes, you know, they're not X-Men, they're not Wolverines, you know, whatever you have. They're not. They're normal persons, okay? Overcomers are just a normal believer who have Christ in the Spirit, who loves the Lord in the emotion, who reads the Word, right? Yeah, what else? Who lives a life within them. So the Lord is spreading them. So these are normal Christians. Just living Christ, living the church life, they're just the overcomers, right? So these overcomers, because they are in the reality of enjoying the Lord, they at the time they will receive the kingdom as their reward. Okay, I don't have the utterance. I don't know what to say. Is this too much? You got it? You got it? If you don't understand, please raise up your hand. I'll stop and explain. Okay? So in the New Testament age, okay, through the process that we went, God went through, right? So the Father, why the triune God is triune is to dispense himself into us. So the Father in the Son as the Spirit has now come into us. So he is the triune God. Why triune God is triune, we don't know. But we know for one thing, it's because he wants to get into us. God lives in an approachable life. We can't even contact him. But God incarnated, became a man. God, the Father in the Son, went through the process of death and resurrection, become the Spirit. As the Spirit, now he can come into my spirit and your spirit. So he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So today, we who are joined to the Lord, we're one spirit. If you have not received the Lord, it's so simple. Just call, Lord Jesus. Open your mouth. Believe in your heart. Right? Just call this name, wonderful name. Right? If I call Emmanuel. Yeah, Emmanuel. Am I just calling a name? No, I'm calling a wonderful person. When I call Lord Jesus, right? Lord Jesus, who comes? The Spirit comes. But the Spirit is a real person. It's a process and consummated triune God. Now, boom. That's regeneration. You want to be saved? What do you do? Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! So that's the beginning of our salvation. You want to be sanctified? What do you want to do? Oh, Lord Jesus, come into my emotion. Oh, Lord, come into my will. Oh, come into my mind. Oh, Lord Jesus. That is the way to be saved. Not only in the initial salvation, but eventually the salvation of our soul. Then he will save us to the uttermost. All the way. All the way my Savior leads me, love me, and saturate me, sanctify me. That is God's full salvation. But not only individually, but corporately, to be the church. Okay, so today, with that background, okay, then not only you have a man here, 1,000 years you have the bride. Here, you have the Spirit, and who? The bride. The Spirit and the bride. Spirit and the bride. You have the bride here, but you have actually eternity. You have a wife. Adam and Eve. The Spirit and the bride. You have the bride. I want to give you this background because this is Revelation 19. This is Revelation 21. There is a little difference here. Without this background, you will not know. Okay, so okay, I'm coming down. Okay, hallelujah. Christ will descend. Okay, openly. Okay, that's that. But we all need to be in his secret descending. Okay, we need to be raptured. Okay, amen. Okay, so let's go to the scripture reading. So that's a very long opening. Okay, don't worry, we'll finish. Okay, we'll finish. So is that okay? Can you see the whole picture? So how long has Christ been waiting? At least 6,000 years, right? Ever since he died, he resurrected. How long has he been waiting? At least 2,000 years. Why hasn't he come back? I'm asking the question. Why? There's so many people get saved still. But why has he not come back? Okay, good. We'll touch that, right? Because the gospel of Matthew 24:14, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached, right, to the whole earth for a testimony. Okay, we'll touch that. Okay, yes. The gospel of the kingdom has not been touched. What else? Is it because Israel didn't get to Jerusalem? I mean, the temple hasn't been built. That's one aspect. Why hasn't he come back? Yeah. The bride is not ready. It doesn't matter how much is happening. Actually, the whole world stage, the geopolitical system, is lining up in session. North Korea. Yeah, you know, right? I mean, a lot of things are lining up. Earthquake, whatever. But Without the body being built up, he cannot come back. The building of the body is the preparation of the bride. And without the preparation of the bride, there's no one new man. I will touch that later. There's no one new man. We're so, even among the believers, we're so separated, segregated, you know, by color, race, whatever. He needs the one new man to come back, right? So the matter of, first of all, the body is a matter of life. In order to have the body, you need to enjoy Christ as life. Life, pay attention, life and function. Out of that life, you have a function. Serving, right? While we're serving together, guitar, what's that? Transportation, you know, you're outside ushering the cars, left. Left, you know, whatever. Those are outward things, okay? But what's needed is that you need to enjoy Christ. When singing together, you need to pray together, right? Brothers come together to sing. That's enjoy life. that's dispense life. So with the body, it's a matter of life. Right? You need life. Then out of that life, you have a function. Life and function, body. But with the bride, it's a matter of what? Love. Okay, love. Okay. Love. Okay, I don't care. No. I know. Young people, I know, I'm learning, you know, how to make a love. Mine doesn't look good. Okay. But not the love. No, it has to be Christ's love. Love Christ with the love that he loves us. Not my natural love, you know, but, you know, bro, you know, hey, you know. not the bro love, or, you know, I don't know what you sisters do. No. Let's go shopping. That's love, you know. Let's go have a boba tea together. That's love. I'm not talking about that kind of love, okay? Love incorruptibility. Ephesians, no time, right, this time. Love in incorruptibility. If your love produces something corruptible, natural, then that is not the love that can build, that can prepare the bride. So with the bride, it's a matter of love. Okay, with the one new man, it's a matter of what? The person. It's a whole matter of a person. Okay, for example, you have a baby. You have a baby, right? You tickle it, you know. Hello. You know. Peek-a-boo, you know. Okay. Yeah, a baby has life. It's drinking milk. It's drinking milk. A baby is drinking milk. But it cannot take Christ as a person. You know what I mean? It does not have personality. You need to grow, right? You need to let it grow. You need to be loved and love. Right? You know, mommy, you need to love and be loved. But much more, you need a baby to grow in life and to be raised up in love, right? So the baby can grow up to be a person. You know, 13, 14, you're still trying. Hey, I'm an adult. Well, I can make my own decision. You know, but you have to be a full-grown man to be the one new man so you can make decisions. Baby say, don't touch that. Dangerous fire. Okay. Next time, don't touch that. Did it again. Why? Because it hasn't grown life. Right? So it has to grow to make decisions. So we need to take Christ as the person. The first thing the baby said was, no, no, no. You like this? No. You want that? No. Do that? No. Okay. He's developing the old man, the self as the person. Sorry, that's a bad baby. You don't need to teach a baby to lie. I mean, you know, we all, you know, do this. But we have to develop, let Christ be our person. It's no longer I, but Christ. See, there's a changing of the old self, the I, but Christ. No longer I that lives, but Christ now lives in me. Not only individually, but we're talking about corporately, in a coordination. Can we take Christ as the person? Can we let him make the decision? Can we have the same opinion? Think the same thing? Even speak the same one thing? Wow, that's Philippians. That is taking Christ as a person. So unless you have the body, you got it? Life and function, build up, coordinated. Unless we have the bride who loves him with his love. Unless we have the one new man taking Christ as a person, he cannot come back. He cannot, okay. Oh, Lord. Amen. Okay, let's turn to, I haven't come to this message, but I want to review the message in the past, okay. I give you four messages, four words. Okay, so you got incarnation, inclusion. Okay, I'm going to erase it. Four messages, I'm going to use four words. Message one, what touched you? Message one, love. Message two, I'll use the word, life. Message three, the word. And my message four, spirit. I'm going to use the word, sir. Message one, right? It's not works, but love. All the Christians want to work for the Lord, but we should just simply stop working but loving the Lord. Okay? So the result, actually, is the way is by, but it's called to call. Calling. Calling on the name of the Lord. Application. Call him. Tell him, Lord Jesus, I love you. Just tell him. And experience the sound of songs. Right? Let him. I want to talk about one point. The problem sometimes is not that we don't love him, the Lord. It's we don't let him, to me, love us. You think I'm unworthy. Lord, I did this. You can never love me again. My peers don't love me. My parents don't like me. I don't even like myself. A lot of the problem with the psychological issues, you know. You read a book, suicides, mental issues. People are short of love. For God so loved the world. He died for me. I'm touched personally. Can we not work? You know, don't work. Stop trying. Stop pleasing him. Can we not just let the love of God fill us? Constrain us? To me, at my experience, we just have to let. Not trying. Just let him. Okay. And the second message related with this life, actually, is with living and building. Basically, the experience is death and resurrection. It's a resurrection life. You have to go through living by the death of Christ, knowing the resurrection, death and life, okay? The result, actually, you have the church. Here, the result, with the word, you have the bride, beautiful bride. And I would say, pray, reading. How to turn logos into rhema? By praying the word. And I'll finish. If you get this point, my point, then I'm finished. It's by drink and flow. Drink and flow. The whole matter with the Lord's coming, you have to drink. And you have to flow. Drink and flow. Once you have it, you have it. You have this message. Then you have the wife. Right? The wife here. You have the bride. Okay? By the washing of the water in the word. Okay. So that's how I sum up. So what are the four messages? How do we prepare the bride? Love him. Right? Love him, right? And what? How do you prepare the bride? By living by the resurrection life. Putting to death the members of our body. Right? And building, of course. Life and building. And how do we prepare the bride? By what? Getting into the word. Logos, right? It turned into rhema. And how do we prepare to be the bride, to be the wife? Drink and flow. And then we'll say, come. When you drink, you flow. Actually, you're one with the Lord. By drinking, not only we're baptized into one body, but by drinking, we can be one in reality and practically. And by flowing, that is the Spirit and the bride, speaking together. We can be one with the Spirit. Amen. In our mind, emotion, will, even our speaking, our preaching the gospel, our sounding a call to the sinners. So that's it. That's my message. Right? Okay. Amen. So let's go to the outline. Amen. Okay. Got it. Okay. So, okay. Let's go to message four. Okay. Let's read the message title together. The Spirit and the Bride. Okay. Scripture reading. If you have it, please find it. The verses here, Revelation. Can you add? How about let's read it together first. scripture reading. If you have it, please stand up and read it. Amen. Okay, next one. Verse 9.
One of the seven angels behind the seven old four of the seven mountains saying, came and spoke to me.
Say,
come here, I will show you the bride, who is the wife of the Lamb.
Right. Amen. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. That's Revelation 21:9. Next one. So there are three warnings here. This is the first warning concerning Christ's coming. Second one. So let's talk about the reward, right? You know what I'm talking about. If you don't make it, you got a what? F? You're going to go to that 1,000 years. Makeup time. But all the believers will be in the New Jerusalem. Okay. Amen. Next. Revelation 22. How about just 17? Okay, how about that? Let us all read this together. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. Let him who will take the water of life freely. Amen. Amen. Okay, so thank you. Okay, so let's read Roman numeral 1 together. So that's Revelation 21:2, right? The holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It's not going up, but coming down. So what is the New Jerusalem? Right? It's the mingling of God and man. It's a universal couple. It's a person, the triune God, process consummated to be the Spirit. That's why at the end of the Bible, you have the Spirit. Right, and the bride, right, the redeemed, regenerated, right, transformed, glorified, tripartite man, with the body, soul, and spirit, tripartite man. Now the two has joined together as one, as a universal couple, the triune God and the New Jerusalem as his wife, now joining together in an internal marriage. So here, it's an internal marriage. Okay. Then, brothers. So here, it says that the New Jerusalem will be the bride in the millennial. Okay, the bride in the millennial. I'd like for you to add one verse here, Revelation 19:7, to this reference. Revelation 19:7. Okay, I will read that. Let us rejoice and exult, and let us give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. He and his wife has made herself ready. Okay, so here in the note, Dennis mentioned this. This is Revelation 19. Notice it's not Revelation 21. Revelation 19. I will read the footnote, the note here on 1, okay, on 2, sorry. His wife refers to the church, the bride of Christ. However, according to verses 8 to 9, the wife, the bride of Christ, here consists only of the overcoming believers during the millennium. Whereas the bride, the wife, in 21:2, that means chapters later, right? Chapter 21:2, is composed of all the saved saints after the millennial for eternity. So the readiness of the bride today in the church age depends on what? Depends on the maturity in life of the overcomers. Furthermore, the overcomers are not separate individuals, but a corporate bride. For this aspect, building is needed. The overcomers not only are mature in life, but also are built together as one bride. I'm going to jump up here. Okay. So, what verse is here? Revelation? What chapter? 19 and right here. Revelation 19:7, right? Okay, so here is that it refers to the overcomers. Again, I say, what does the Lord need today? Where are we? We're here right before the second coming of Christ. So we need those who are mature in life. So you have to enjoy Christ as life. Let the life saturate you, fill you, right? So you can become overcomers. So you'll be at the wedding feast. What's the longest wedding feast you have? Huh? Indonesia? Malaysia? How many days? Philippines? 8 days, 10 days? Okay. So for the overcomers in the millennium, how long is that wedding feast? 1,000 years. Okay. So think of it. It's 1,000 years. So what do we need today? In order for the Lord to come back, he needs a bridal army. That's what you need to build, right? Today, in all the local churches, you may be by yourself with another sister in, I don't know where you are, out of Halifax, St. Mary's. Halifax, St. Mary's. Oh, I'm alone. I can't go on. I mean, you know, not enough serving ones. They're all graduating. They're so busy, you know. They're brothers, but brothers, they're so busy with their schoolwork. I'm alone by myself. What can I do? What can you do? Love the Lord. What can you do? Enjoy Christ as your life. What can you do? Get into the Word. What can you do? Amen. Enjoy, right? Exercise your spirit and preach the gospel. Right? Pray for a companion. You're not alone. You need to be built with the church. There are saints there, but Larry's there. Amen. Sister Lorna is there. Sam is there. Ortiz is there. Amen. You know, the other saints there. You're not alone. You have all the saints in your locality. So here, you need to grow and build. Grow in life and build together. Right? To become the overcomer. So he can, you know, you're here, he's there. You know, what's the farthest place in Calgary? Medicine Hat. I know a brother in Medicine Hat. He's by himself, maybe a brother or two. But it's okay. If we do this, and you come to the blending, you go to the seven feast, you go to the college training, right? Didn't we talk about college training? That's the time, right? I am exercised in my locality, in my school. But when it comes time like this, it's coordination time, right? Corporately, in a college training, in a blending conference, we will have a bridal army. A bridal army to defeat Antichrist at Armageddon. No time to get into this. You know? Satan is crushed under our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, right? Amen. You should experience that. Whenever we're in the spirit, we have the reality of all that Christ has done. So where is Satan now? Under our feet in the lake of fire. Yeah. Right? Where are we? We're in resurrection. We're in ascension. We're sitting together with Christ in the heavenlies, wearing my spirit. That is my message here. So being our spirit, exercise our spirit. And all that love, life, the word, and the spirit will make us the overcomers today.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go on. Okay, B. All right. Since Jerusalem is the bride, we should not consider her impossible. I was closing Anaheim, listening to some radio. I heard a pastor had a dream. I don't know, 2,000 feet Jesus he saw. And then he said, Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, is where with Golden Street. Don't worry, okay? What's your name, brother? Ryan. Okay, don't worry. You're poor, it's okay. We're sojourners. But wait till that day. That day, you know, you're going to get a mansion made of gold. And, you know, we're going to golden streets, gold golf balls, gold clubs. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. So a lot of people think about, believe in Jesus. If not, you go to hell. If you don't go to hell, you go to heaven. And heaven is where you make your pots, you know. Okay. No, okay. Is the New Jerusalem a physical city? Okay, so Revelation is the book of signs. We say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And who is sitting on the throne? God and the Lamb. Do you think, you know? No, please. Okay. You know what I'm saying? No. Don't think it's a physical city. Revelation 1:1 is a book of signs. I, John, write to you in signs. But I would like to add one note. Maybe we can read that together to show you the last note. Revelation 22. Okay, verse 21, note 3. You got it? Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, the last book of the Bible. Okay, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. There's a note there, the last note in the recovery version. If you turn to it, okay, I'll read it, okay? It says, the New Jerusalem, the last major item revealed in this book, is not only the conclusion of the entire Bible, but also the ultimate consummation of all the important items revealed in the Bible. So the seed is sown in Genesis, Adam and Eve, and is consummated in Revelation. Okay, so it is a consummation. The triune God's economy, Christ's redemption, God's salvation, the believers, the church, and the kingdom, right? We mentioned it's all here. From the triune God to the kingdom, okay, it's all here. Are all consummated in the New Jerusalem as the consummating item. Thus, to say that the New Jerusalem is a physical city is not logical. It does not correspond with this book's principle of using signs for the revelation of the mysterious things. According to the entire revelation of the complete Bible, the New Jerusalem, the conclusion of the complete Bible, is a divine mingling of the process triune God with a redeemed and transformed tripartite man, a mingling of divinity with humanity, resulting in a universal, corporate, mysterious person. And this person is who? The wife of the Lamb, the ultimate consummation of the tabernacle. It is the ultimate consummation of God's work, the new creation. It is the ultimate consummation of God's economy and God's divine accomplishment and God's eternal purpose, deep longing, purpose, desire, good pleasure, whatever you call it. It's this New Jerusalem.
Amen.
So it's the New Jerusalem. No. Okay, you play go harp, you know, those sisters, you know, go pianos. No. The New Jerusalem is what? The mingling of God and man. It's a triune God with me, with us. Wow. The ultimate consummation. It is the Spirit and the Bride for eternity. Amen. Okay. So read this note, okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, see. Let's read together. Sisters, D. Right. So you have all the references in the Old Testament, Isaiah, you know, which we mentioned, Jeremiah, Hosea, they all talk about, right? In prophecies, in types, but now, wow, the fulfillment. Okay, this is Christ's deep longing, satisfied in Revelation 21 and 22. Okay, that's reading Romans 2 together. Christ desires to come back for his prepared bride, and we who are preparing for his coming must share his desire. You know how long Christ has been waiting? And yet, what does that have to do with me? I'm busy trying to get just to barely make it through school. I don't know, some of you maybe. Maybe you're smart, you don't need to study. I don't know how many of you don't need to study and can get straight A's. No preparation, right? You get straight A's. Peter, right? Peter said, okay, you want to get straight A's, you got to pay some price. Maybe some are geniuses here, okay? But some are just trying to make it. Make it through school, make it through life. What does this whole grand scheme of things has to do with me? I'm just trying to survive, okay? Bro, just trying to make it, you know? Just trying to make it. So what are you going to do? it's rough out there, you know? You know, Brother Ricky did a survey. Did you hear about, he was here with serving on Parents Conference. So he did a survey in Northeast area to ask all the young people, what is your concern? You know, young people in the U.S. went on the street, right? Gun control, whatever. But they asked, do they concern the most, today's young people? Do you remember? Who was there? Were you there? Okay, let me ask you, what is your most concern today? That's okay. I won't look. Just tell me. I mean, what concern, let's say Canada. Maybe people are more reserved. Okay, relationship, drugs. I mean, what affects? How about in your school? In observing, right? You go to school, right? What are young people concerned with today? Jobs, money, time. Oh, friends, yeah. Okay, what else? Relationships, right? What else? Grades? Yeah, must be. Health? Yeah. So you get. Real estate. Whoa. Are you studying business or something? Yeah, you're looking, you know. Montreal, Toronto, 10 years, double the price. I'm not going to have a house. So I'm going to stay with my parents. But my parents are not here, so. I have no place to stay. Okay, housing. Okay, all this is what's present. What does that has to do with me? You know. So when we talk about Christ desires to come back, and we who are preparing for his coming must share in his desire. I don't know how much sharing because I don't have time for him. Sorry, Lord, I'm too busy in the morning. I got to get to that cup of coffee, you know. Or, Dean, I'm late already. Lord, no time for you, sorry. Then Bible reading time, no time. Meeting time, no, I got to go out with my friends. You know, they're going to this great party, you know, watch this great whatever, games or movie, you know. Lord, I don't have time for you. I'm talking practically. If we really see this, and you look at suicide rates, I did a little study. Today's young people, actually, don't look beyond the ear. I mean, a lot of pressure. You're under really a lot of pressure. More than our days. I won't tell you how old I am. You know, Emmanuel, do they have more pressure than our days? You think so? You probably have more pressure than my days. Right? Yeah. Because the world is intensified. You worry about jobs, getting good grades to make it. You know, all this, the worries and care of this world actually has eaten us. If you love other things, love of the Father is not in you. What are the things of the world? Lust of the eyes. You know, I summarize it. You know, it's just the eyes, right? Actually, it's your being. Lust of the eyes. What else? Huh? Lust of the flesh. That's worse. Okay. Be real, you know. Whatever, you know, going out there. You know, I don't want to mention even those things of the flesh. And what else? Huh? Yeah, boasting or actually the care, the worries. Actually, the whole world is here. It's very real to you. But can we not? Let me tell you a lot of story. Can we not trust the Lord, who is the creator of the universe, who regenerated us and lived in us? He counted our hairs. Huh? Did you count your hair this morning? I said, oh, oops. No. I combed. What happened, you know? I pulled out one hair. I don't know, maybe 1,000, you know, whatever hair. The Lord even counted your hairs. Can we not trust him? You know, worldly cares, your grades, your future. So I'm saying, really, the Lord has to touch our heart. What do you love? You cannot serve two masters. If you don't love him, you will not care about his life in you. You know, so the Lord touched me, no. I'm not going to preach the gospel, no. I'm not going to go to the meetings, no. No, I mean, how about his word? Oh, Holy Word for my new Bible. What is this? I can't take it. How about exercising the Spirit? Why should I exercise the Spirit? No. See, we're in two different realms. So may the Lord recover our love. It begins with our love to him. Lord, I love you. How about us say this together? Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. You know, the Lord said to Peter, you love me more than these? Three times. We're all Peters. I am a Peter. You know, I serve full time sometimes. You know, the brothers in their 30s, I'm over 30s. You know, how many times I try to run away? Yeah, I don't know how many times, 7, 8, I know, at least. I said, Lord, I can't go on. I'm like a Peter. We're all like Peters. We deny the Lord in face of choices, right? In face of friendship, we deny him. Even deny the Lord in front of a little maid, right? Hey, you're one of the Nazarene. I heard it from your accent. He said, no. Even he swore, I do not know the Lord. The first minute I said, Lord, I will die for you. What's the next minute? I don't know him. I swear I don't know him. So the Lord has to come to touch us with his love. Right? I mean, all this. Amen. Okay, may the Lord touch our heart. Love him with all of our heart. Okay, so we can feel his desperateness, feel his needs. Okay, A, sisters. So these, I come quickly, could be something, amen, I come quickly, or it could be a warning to us. Or say, when the Lord said, I come quickly, you say, Lord, don't come. Come slowly. I'm not ready yet. I still need to have this. Just give me a little bit, you know, time. I know you're merciful. Just give me a little time. Don't come. Lord, please don't come. But the Lord, it's a warning here. I come quickly. From the world situation, everything happened, will not touch. But you see, He will come. Okay, B, brothers. One, all one sisters, the first occurrence. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. So in B, actually, I have four pages of excerpts from the world situation and God's move. It says the Lord's ultimate move actually requires the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I shared something in Toronto, but I will not repeat it. You know, it says that the disciple asked, Lord, when are you coming? What are the signs of your coming? You know, in the Matthew 24, 25, there are two things. The matter of life, do we have oil in our lamp? Give me oil in the lamp, you know. Oil in our lamp, that means, are we transformed in our soul? Not only saving our spirit, but are we transformed in our soul? That's what the spirit, that's the oil in our lamp. Also concerning the matter of talents. The Lord has given us talent, each one. A function in the body. You can bury it or you can use it. But in between, it talks about lawlessness will increase and the heart of man will grow cold. So in Toronto, I share, that's what happened. Yonge Street, you know, the college student, 25, Seneca College, ran over, 10 people dead. I don't know how many injured. And police was pointing the gun. You know, he was holding a cell phone. He said, shoot me, shoot me. He doesn't want to live. A college student doesn't want to live. So he ran up, you know. So it's a tragedy. So lawlessness is, Satan is destroying today's young people. So we need the gospel. So it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So you have to keep the Lord's word. Keep loving him. Don't deny his name. Call on his name. You know, just enjoy his life. Read his word. Have his read my word. Exercise the spirit. Join to the Lord as one spirit, as one person. Here, the spirit is a person, you know. So to be saved, if you look at the note there, Matthew 24, 14, the note to be, 13, to be saved means what? To receive the kingdom as a reward. Again, the overcomers. One way to be saved is what? To the next verse. How to be saved? To preach the kingdom of the gospel. Right after, to be saved, yes, endure, keep, but also to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the nations, to a testimony to the nations. So not only we need the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, today we need a testimony of the church as the bride, a group of people loving him, as the body expressing him, as the one new man ruling and reigning, fighting with the Lord. So this is a testimony of the golden lampstands of what the overcomers are doing. So today, the whole world situation points to that. How to be saved? Endure to the end. Keep all this. But also, preach the gospel of the kingdom. So wherever you are, on campus, just pass out that track. Don't miss the opportunity. Wherever we are, just go. Right, preach the gospel. This is in a similar line. Okay, go to, you finish that. Two, three, brothers. Second. Three, brothers, again. The third mentioning of come. Have sincere desire for the Lord's coming. We also have for others' salvation. If we water others, we will be water. And if we care for others, so first, we need to have a desire. Secondly, we need to have a desire. Second, the Lord said, I come quickly. It's concerning the reward. Thirdly, in this case, is for sinners. As I said, the gospel of the kingdom. Do you have a burden? Once you have drink of the water, you will flow. So I say, the whole thing here, the burden is to drink and to flow. The Spirit and the bride say, come. All those who thirst and will say, come. So we'll bring more people to come. Firstly, we ourselves have to come. Then we bring others to come to enjoy Christ as the Spirit, as the water. Okay, C, lastly, and I'll finish. The fact that the Spirit and the bride speak indicates that they have become one. The Spirit is the consummation of the triune God. The Christ is the completed church. The church must be completed so that there will be a true oneness between Spirit and the bride. Hence, the consummation of the church will match the triune God to be his complete expression and satisfaction for eternity. So at the end, the Spirit and the bride is what we have seen. We have the union in life. And the mingling in nature. Actually, the word has to do everything with the element and nature of sanctification. I don't have time, right? And also, incorporation in person, the Spirit. It's the union and mingling and incorporation of the triune God with the corporate tripartite man, the Spirit and the bride. What do we say? Come, Lord Jesus.